The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, The Weekend Podcast. I am joined by Peter and Steve. It's a musical version of The Weekday Podcast. I hate musicals, do you?
They're all right, I don't mind them.
I don't like musicals, but I like the music.
I don't like musicals, but I like the music. Which part of it don't you like, then?
They just drag on a bit, don't they?
They just sing everything. I went to see Les Miserables once. I just walked out halfway through. It's fantastic. But they just sing everything. Every single thing. They don't talk about anything. It's not, to me, that's not realistic, you know? There's somebody at the door. Open the door. Who's at the door? I'll go and check the door. Oh, it's a postman. Just talk for a bit. What is wrong with you?
The best episodes of Scrubs. Remember that from Channel 4 years ago? One of the best episodes is when they were all in a musical for the whole programme. That was good.
Yeah, because it's a bit different then, a bit comedy. But when this I think, is there a tax thing going on there? Maybe to be a musical, you pay less tax and so they have to sing a certain percentage of the lines. Otherwise, it's not a musical. It's not accounted as a musical. So there are certain lines you can certainly get away with just talking. It's fine. We don't mind that, you know? You don't have to sing every sodding line. Anyway.
Right.
Okay. By the way, have you got a smart meter? Do you have a smart meter?
Yes. No.
Do you?
I refuse mine.
Why have you refused it, Steve?
It's because at the moment...
It's just too smart. I'm smart to you, what?
No, quite the opposite. No, it's because at the moment they're not compatible with different energy companies. If you change, which I do every year, it doesn't work then.
Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't cost you anything, does it?
It does, because it comes out of our bills in some way, your form.
No, it doesn't, Steve. If you can swap it every year, it doesn't matter. Just amass them, get loads of them. Because, do you know what? I've got one this week, and the thing, you start off with, just a nodding glance towards the thing. Oh, it's quite nice, that. You can change it. You can look at what you're consuming there and then, what you consumed yesterday or the week before. And so, at the start, we looked at it, we go, 10 pence. We're using 10 pence an hour, are we? Why am I using 10 pence? It's obsessive. Why am I using 10 pence an hour? What's switched on? Let's turn the telly off, boys. Boys, turn the telly off. That's it. Right, it's just sitting there. Right, it's down to 8 pence. That's good. What else is on? You're going around looking at the house. Oh, the clock on the oven. Switch that off. We don't want that on, do we? Why do we need a clock on the oven? Got a clock on my watch. Fine, switch it off. Right, anything else? Standby lights.
Man.
All's down to 5 pence an hour now. Brilliant, boys. Turn the lights off, everyone. Turn the lights off. We don't need lights. Daddy, I'm on the toilet. I can't see where I'm going. You know where the toilet is. I don't care. Just switch the lights off. Yes, we're down to 2 pence an hour. All right. And it's literally, it just goes nuts. Switch everything off. Just knock your iPads off. They're not connected to the electrics. Okay, we'll just knock them off anyway. It's like everything. Just, you get really obsessional. But,
obsessional?
Yeah, but do you know what, though? What's happening? They're not very smart, though. The actual meters themselves, because the one we got, we have to plug in. And the display screen is quite bright, right? And it doesn't, hibernate or anything. It's on bright all the time. And I'm thinking, well, that's not very smart. It's using up electricity. So I want to switch it's annoying. I want to switch the smart meter off because it's using electricity. And then stop you. Why doesn't it hibernate? That's not very smart, is it? A bright display all the time, is it? That's using about a pound a year, that is.
Well, this is why I didn't get mine.
Right. Okay.
But we had some electrical work done, so we had something wrong with that. There's an old extension on the house, and apparently the person who put the electrics in there and messed it up, and so we kept having trip outs all the time. It's not connected to the smart meter, and then we sort of had some electricians coming round today and to check all the wiring and stuff and put a new fuse box in, and they connected everything back up. It was freezing all day. We had no electricity all day, so I was running my laptop basically tethered to my phone for the podcast, and then they connected the smart meter back up, but it didn't connect for some reason, and it's not connected. And so it's just showing 0 pence. I'm thinking, cracking. At least today, we're freezing cold, no electricity, no heating, no lights, nothing at all, but we use no electricity. I think that's cracking, isn't it? I'm sitting here now in my office, right? I got 4 layers on, plus a coat. And I asked the missus to buy me some fingerless gloves today. She couldn't find any. All she said... So all I've got is those weight training gloves, so I've got a pair of those on.
Wow.
Oh, there we are. But, I'm just thinking, smart meters aren't very smart, are they? But Steve, no, you'd love that. Steve, it's excellent. You can set your budget for a daily budget. It's got a little scale on it. It goes round.
I know how they work. I bought one about 10 years ago and
didn't connect.
I got bored of it after about a week. You kind of, exactly what you just said, you get really into it. And after a week, you're like, oh, this is just waste, and you put it away. So I guarantee you in 2 weeks, it'll be in a drawer.
Yeah, yeah, but you know what? It's a bit. It is. It's a bit like the Fitbit, isn't it? A Fitbit of the electricity world. You know, you put one of these Fitbits on, you walk everywhere. Oh, I'm walking on the spot. Oh, I'm using burning calories. Oh, yeah. You know, really obsessive. And then a couple weeks later, it's in the back of the drawer.
But it's not really though, is it? Because with fitness, you're doing different things throughout your day. Whereas
I can sense Steve has just invested in a Fitbit. He's been a bit defensive.
I've had mine for about over a year, and I'm still using it quite a lot. Well, every day, actually.
Quite a lot.
But once you know what electric to turn off and not to use, it's like, yeah, you're pretty much doing the same things every day in your house. You're cooking, putting the TV on. So once you know what's what, you don't really need to keep an eye on it, do you?
Yeah, but the missus has gone nuts. Megan's gone nuts about me because I got these. Because my office, little office in the garden there, gets really cold, you know, shaded. Yeah. And so I put these 3 kilowatt sort of oil heater on. And it goes up to like the normal. If you're not running at anything, pretty much, you're normally burning about 5 pence an hour, 4 pence an hour, you know, or 3 pence. Around between three and sort of 5 pence. I put my heater on, and it goes up like 30 pence an hour. And so that's so I've been sitting here freezing. And
but the thing you're talking about is that the little gizmo, the wireless thing that then is picking up from the smart. How accurate is that compared to the actual smart meter itself? Like the smart meter itself is clever because that's the actual meter, isn't it? So
no, hang on, it's just a display. That is the smart meter. The smart meter is that gizmo.
It just takes all the data from the actual meter.
Yeah, yeah, from the meter. Yeah, it's the Wi-Fi. Okay. Go, you're not really smart. You don't even know smart meters. I think mine's. I don't think it's called smart meter. It's an average intelligence meter because the fact they can't hibernate and burn electricity by a really bright display, you can use that as a torch. It's ridiculous. It's to me that isn't very smart. Anyway, let's get into stocks and shares, boys, because people are probably tuning in. Heaven forbid, someone may have recommended this to somebody else, and they talk about stocks and shares, and we talk about smart meters for the first 10 minutes and musicals. There we are. There's a little thing.
I've got one other question though. But is it connected to the tariff you're paying, or is it?
Yes, because it is all connected up. Yes. No.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because the man from Scottish Power came round. Okay, you're going to throw a smart meter on you. That's right. So why? I didn't realise everyone from Scottish Power was Scottish. Aye. Oh, powered by oats. Okay.
He has to put it on. He has to put on the accent.
That's right, That's right, we're powered by oats. Oh, you are someone who smacked me. Smack. Anyway.
When he gets back in the van, he's like, bloody hell, I don't know what I'm doing this job for. Anyway.
So that's modern. So, Vissarion, look at Vissarion. Do you know what? There's one thing you've got to know, and you get all these imbeciles who try and value stocks and shares on profits and earnings more. The earnings per share is very high, or the PE is 150. Who cares? What do you want to do? Earn money? Or just talk about profit and, PE levels and the earnings per share? What do you want to do? What I'm saying is, when momentum gets behind a stock, and tech stocks especially, and you've got resource stocks happens, and maybe biotech stocks, there are very few sectors like that. But Vissarion, if you don't know about it, it's basically a graphene producer. Vissarion, they've signed several deals with global players, and now they're going to China to build a Chinese city out of graphene. And with the backing of President Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping! If he works at a hotel, he'd be brilliant. One of his little bells on top of there. Say, excuse me, President Xi Jinping! But anyway, so he... I like that. No, but apparently he's going back to China because Neil, the CEO of Vissarion, they've done a deal in China. Now, China, of course, it's the biggest economy in the world now, buying power. All the commodities... Any commodities are rallying because of China. You know, that's all it's about. The demand is there. Chinese are going through like crazy. They're eating it. They're eating gold and copper. They're loving it. Because if you look at America, you understand it's amazing, businesses and entrepreneurs in America and industry, massive, but they've only got 300 million population, China, 5 times the population of that. And it's not nowhere near developed. So, a massive middle class coming up, we'll be using tech goods and all this stuff and stuff that will have graphene in it. But the burgeoning sort of, exposure there to the graphene, it's going to be expanding. But anyway, but $200 billion a year, apparently, of graphene will be used. Now, Vissarion, a little small cap from UK, going over there, and setting up a sort of factory funded by the Chinese, and then they're going to set up a Graphene Valley, but like Silicon Valley, and apparently Neil's flying over there. There's rumours on Twitter that he's going over there with... Did you read this, Peter? I mean, as a representative of the British government, I think, and Theresa yes. May, and Xi Jinping,
Yeah.
I think he's going to be there. But there's lots of big business from Britain going over, but also I think it's the Saharan, isn't it? I don't know what the truth is behind this, but because of this, the share price has gone past a pound easy day. What did it end up? It ended up at around about £1.12. So, you know, we were thinking, people were saying this is very toppy, even at sort of 60 pence and 70 pence and 80 pence and 90 pence. But what you don't understand is, this is getting momentum now. So people are buying this, and people are still buying this at this level.
Yeah.
And these are the kind of people who've been told about it down the pub. They're not your regular investor. They're more mass people who are saying, listen, you've got to get into the stock. They've gone to, it's going to be massive. They're going to be massive. It's like...
What are you basing that on? That's your hunch, is it?
That's fact. I've done surveys and stuff. Lots of surveys.
I went down the pub.
yeah. I did a survey. Yeah. But it's like, you know, there's very few stocks that capture this kind of ferocious momentum. CloudTag was one of the last ones. I mean, URU Energy was one. 80s Energy was another one in the small cap arena. But I think Vesarin is even out doing these guys. And I think Vesarin has the legs to go further as well. I think this will become, you know, a mid-tier company, and maybe bigger if these deals land and they actually, you know, get a good bit of, because they are cutting edge. They are leading in the field of graphene. What do we know about graphene? I'll hand you over to Steve, our graphene expert. Steve.
Well, funny enough, in the week they were talking about graphene, so saying the new golf balls were going to be partly made of graphene, which some people were pro and against on that. So and also in some of the crap that I watch on TV, some of the techie shows, they've started mentioning graphene in that, of the high gut deal, like the gadgets made out of graphene. It's one of the strongest materials in the world.
Oh, that's lovely. So it's only that strongest, lightest, most conductive. So those three combinations there: lightest, strongest, and most conductive. It's a wonder material, isn't it? Really, it's got all those elements in there. And if anything, you know, I mean, to be in copper for the EV revolution, the electric vehicle revolution, is going to happen. It's a good thing, because we know, you know, cars use about three times as much copper than the traditional cars. But if there's anything that can compete, you know, with copper, it is going to be graphene. As yet, we're still in the infancy of graphene. We haven't seen the start of this yet. So all these people, you know, on Twitter saying, "Oh, you're very overvalued." You fools! You absolute fools! Are you going to sit there saying you're overvalued? Or you're going to start taking, you know, investments and realizing the potential? Because potential.
What are they basing that on as well?
It's a lot more. Well, it is overvalued, but you have no idea. In fact, you know what? It's not overvalued because we've never seen this factor before. You don't know where it's going to go. Yes, you can value it on traditional metrics, yes, but you don't know how big the graphene sector is. It can change most sectors in the world. Do you know how big the sector is? No, you don't. So you can't say it's overvalued. You have no idea. Listen, you've missed out. You're bitter. It's not overvalued. You have no idea where this could go. You know, they're calling it a wonder material, a wonder commodity. You know, so who knows where it could go? Who knows?
And all so the market cap as of end of play Friday, 166 million. You know, it kind of is overvalued. That's what I was going to say. But in terms of actually...
On traditional metrics.
Yeah, but you don't know the scale of the industry. But equally, what is Vesarium's kind of USP compared to... And what are their competitors? What will the competitors be as the industry matures and develops? So is that clear? It's not clear to me, but I don't know enough about it, perhaps.
No, exactly. But the thing is, when you start signing up with some big companies, and let's just go back here, because they've done a deal with collaboration with a global consumer goods company, an agreement with a global chemical major, planned Chinese, you know, graphene manufacturing facility. So what else is there? There's something else, wasn't there? There's another company they did a deal with.
DuPont, wasn't it?
You can't say that, Peter. I don't know. People are saying that.
Wasn't it? I thought that was...
No, it's not out there. No.
I thought that was... That was speculation.
Collaboration with an... I can't say whether that is or not. Collaboration with Israel Aerospace Industries, that's the one that's been revealed. But most of these, you know, companies can't be revealed because of non-disclosure agreements. But when you start getting, like I said before, getting a lead, becoming a lead dog like this, you know, other companies will just go to you because you were doing deals with, you know, all these big companies. So those are the go-to company. You know, they're now building a city out of graphene in China. They're building human beings, Chinese human beings. They're cloning monkeys out of graphene. Unbelievable in China. And this is what's happening in the pub. People are telling people in the pub, you know, and golf club. Yeah. Listen, this company, they're building Chinese people out of graphene. And you know how many Chinese are. new teeth. They're doing dentists. Every person in China is allowed to have free teeth. And most of them being built out of graphene. These are kind of rumours that go around, but that's the momentum you're seeing. It's unstoppable. It's equivalent. Someone trying to value this on traditional valuation metric. It's like someone standing on the beach, seeing a tsunami, and saying, "Oh, it's a little wave. It's about 6 foot. That's all that wave is." Yes, but what's behind it? It doesn't stop coming. And once you get momentum going, people buy, they see it going up. More people buy because it's going up, and more people buy because more people are buying. You know, it's like joining the queue. Look, just jump in. What are you queuing for? I'll queue up something good, yeah? So it just, once that starts, you can't stop it. It's like a tanker, an oil tanker. You can't slow it down. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, that's my take on Poseidon. Could be massive. Would I get in at these levels? No, I wouldn't. I'd wait for it to come back because we're still on a bit of a spike. Anyway, so
that's the looking forward. As you said earlier, it's very much at the start now, isn't it? So these deals and all of that, the hype and everything, but these will then come to fruition, as will hopefully other deals, other announcements, etc., etc., and it will continue to grow. But in the meantime, it may pull back, and that'll be a time to get in and buy some more.
So what's stopping other companies getting as deep into graphene as Bazarian?
Well, there's a lot of companies, in graphene, loads of companies, but do they have these connections? It's like saying, it's the same as, saying, okay, what stops other companies starting up an online estate agency, an online fashion clothes house, like Assos, like Rightmove? What stops them? Because once you start getting the deals, start doing the deals, that's the gold, that is what, when the big boys talk to you, that's it, you can't get in, like Neil said, he couldn't get in the door to have a meeting with these about 2 years ago, and now they come in searching for him. It's almost ridiculous, isn't it? So that's the way it is. So that's the IP. People obviously seen people questioning Neil on Twitter, which I think Neil's a bit too active on Twitter, to be honest. But I've seen people question him, people shorting it, saying, "Have you got patent protections or IP and all this stuff?" And he said, "We've got intellectual property rights and all that stuff." But what they got is these connections, and that's it. You can't buy that. You can't You can do all the experimentation you want in the world. You can get the best sort of manufacturing facility in the world. But if you can't get in the door with these big guys, then wave your business goodbye, because that's where the value lies, I think. Graphene balls. I was surprised. Even golf balls. So they make the inner core can be made from graphene, make them go further. There's a debate about this, because they're saying, as it is, professionals don't really need to go hit balls further. It is. They're hitting balls. How many yards? 500 yards, something like that. Good professional. And I said, if anything, they need to extend courses for professionals at the moment, and that's a bad thing for the environment. So it doesn't need to. But for the duffer like Pete and Steve, duffer like you two.
What?
Guys,
well. Who won the last time we played?
Me.
No.
For duffers like you two, then it's welcome, isn't it? You can hit the ball, 30 yards rather than 25.
I'm looking forward to our next game. It's always entertaining. Steve?
Yeah.
Probably get quite expensive, though, if I start losing our graphene balls in the woods.
Yeah, good point.
In fact, you don't need them on the green, do you, sometimes? Because I can hit the ball too far on the green, mostly. I do that, but there we are. Any other companies you want to chat about? Guys, got a couple of companies here.
I wouldn't mind chatting about NFX, actually. Is it Newfrix? Newfrimix?
Newfrix. Newfrix?
Yeah.
NFX,
I know me and Pete bought into that. Did you sell out, Pete?
No, I just hung in there.
Yeah, me too.
Are you still in there? You're good. Well, listen. I like them. I just think at the moment, they're early just floated, aren't they? And they do co-crystallization. So it's a very clever thing they do with chemicals and stuff and drugs. They essentially change it a little bit so the patent or you don't need to go through phase 1, 2, and 3 of regulatory, which takes years when you creating a new drug, possible new cure for something. It takes ages going through all these trials, and it costs a lot of money. Now they adjust the existing drug, so the safety profile is still there, but they improve it in some way. And so, and they've also already done a deal. They haven't been on, listed long. Done a deal in China. I think it was, what, 2.5 million, I think, down payment, then royalties. I don't know how much the royalties are, of course. But that, off the bat there, suggests it's a good product and what they're doing. Do you know why I liked it? Because when it first came on, I spoke to them twice on the podcast. First time, I knew something was good about it. I couldn't work out what they were talking about. And then I heard another interview. In fact, Martin did it from Vox when I was away. I thought, oh, yeah, I understand what they're doing there. I like that a lot. So then I bought some, but then the market cap was wrong, wasn't it? It was showing like 3 million market cap. I thought, what? They've done a 2.5 million deal plus royalties, and they're only 3 million market, but they were like more like 20. So I bought in and then sold out quickly. But now they've had a bit of a fallback, haven't they? Are you down or up, lads, on New Formix?
I'm down, but it did shoot up today. Not up, but it nearly hit where I bought.
Not up, it did go up. It went up 15%.
But it went back down again before close.
Yeah. Okay. So, maybe a little bit of selling there. I mean, I think they floated, opened at 4.3, and so they've not got up there to the IPO, still pre-IPO. But do you know what? It's like, they came down to run about market up 10 million. I think that's a good bargain there. I got a good price there. So why didn't you average down? Why didn't you average down, boys? Boys, hey?
We still could if we wanted.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
Yeah, I should have. I was looking at it when it was around 3p and thinking, this is the time. This is the time for me to average down in feedback.
You've got to automate that. You've got to look at it and do it on a spreadsheet and just say, right, 10% on a preliminary on there, 10% there, 10% there, and just regard it, and that's allocated. Otherwise, if you leave it to human emotion, you get it all wrong. That's the thing. If you just wait, there are witnesses.
Or you forget. That's the other thing I do. Yeah.
Look at a chart, See what looks a good price. Because when you think of it, look at that chart on New Formix, NFX. And so it went down. God, it went down to just below 2p. When was that then?
Did it go?
It went quite low.
Not recently. That was, when it spiked up that one day, but it's come down to about 2.6 recently, but now it's 3.5. Yeah. I think it's an opportunity to still get in, I think they'll do well. I like the tech they've got there. Just, I did have someone tweet me saying I bought that spike and they kept coming down, and he said, where's the fair valuation? I said, I don't know, really. I don't know, because we know they've done that one deal, but we don't know what the royalties are. I mean, it's double-digit royalties. That could be 10%, but I don't know how much they're going to sell. I have no idea. So I said, I want a bit more, clarity here on what's happening, But I do like Informix. They're one of these biotechs, again, that could... could come out with a blockbuster of a deal and it'd go through the roof, So, I like, do you know what else I like? And I got the same feeling about this. I don't know if I said this before. I don't know why. I did. I said this last week about Asia Met as I do about UOG, United Oil and Gas. I know that Sasha, introduced me to Sir Brian. Brian Larkin. Oh, hello, Brian. Hey, Brian. Can you do an Irish accent? Oh, I can, Brian. Brian Larkin. Ooh, fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah, better one than yours, probably.
Go on, then do it then. Say, hello, I'm Brian Larkin.
I can only say swear words in Irish. That's my opening line in Irish would be a swear word because then it gets me into
it. Just say, I'm Brian Larkin.
Oh, I'm Brian Larkin. Hello there, I'm Brian Larkin.
I'm ex Tullo team. Oh, me and the boys from Tullo.
Hello there. Yeah, all right. Okay, lovely.
Steve, have a crack at the Irish accent. I know you're very good at it.
La da 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 da.
Potato.
Ba da 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 da. Anyway, listen. Brian Larkin, he's a very shrewd man, and he's this company. I've read a blog. Did you read the blog on the weekend, by the way, Steve?
No.
Why didn't you read the blog? What did I send this out for?
I was busy. I was in Bristol last weekend.
That's no excuse.
Anyway, so they've been listed. In July, last July. That's all it was. Now the ex-Tullo team. Now, I don't know if you know about Tullo, but I'll give you a potted history of Tullo.
Please do.
It's a fantastic success story from Ireland. The guy who set them up, right, is a guy called Aidan Heavey, in 1985. He had no oil experience, industry experience, no money, no local market to start off with, So, by 2007, so that's what, 21 years later, it was operating in 23 countries, employed 370 people, producing 73,100 barrels of oil per day, had a market cap of 17 billion, and was the 30th biggest company within the FTSE 100, so in the UK listed. And part of that team was Brian, and also this was the CFO. So the two main guys at oil and gas were part of that team. You know, very ambitious, driven. You know, guys. Brian Larkin there and Jonathan Leather, yes, Chief Operating Officer. And Brian said quite openly, you know, we're not going to be a mid-tier cat. We're not going to be this size for long. We're going to be mid-tier, then we're going to be bigger. They have ambitions to be Tullow, the next Tullow, you know. And Tullow has taken a hit. I mean, it's still 3 billion now. But, I mean, obviously, it's the oil downturn. There's a lot of companies had a lot of problems there because they're expanding. But they're still 3 billion from nothing. So still a big company. Now, they've done a deal with already with Tullow in Jamaica, which has the potential to open up a multi-billion barrel offshore play, right? Now, you know, oil and gas are like 11 million market cap, that's all they are. And already, Brian's done sort of five deals now, involving eight licenses within 6 months. He has not just hit the ground running, he's hit the ground sprinting like a maniac. Ah, touch me! I'm Brian Larkin! So, he's literally doing deals left, right, and centre. And I'm thinking, and not only that, there are different levels of exploration plays. There's already Selva gas field in Italy that's producing and will be producing by 2020, probably earlier than that. But also already they've got sort of cash flow going to be coming in. You know, so they've got really high impact, risky ones like the Jamaican with Tullow. But if that's proven, multi-billion. So they're not just one of these small caps, you know, oil and gas operators. They have a one target, high impact target, that's high risk, you know, and if they miss, and the chances are, when you have a high risk, high impact target, the chances are you will miss. It's odds against, you know, it's like a 5-1.
These deals, is it, they're bringing like the expertise and everything that, and their team of people to actually...
Well, most of them are sort of farm-ins, you know, so there'll be an operator that owns the license and stuff, and so and what happens is, because it costs a lot of money to drill a well, you know, a heck of a lot of money. And so how these companies do it, they want to sort of, you know, spread the risk and the cost, so they'll farm out. If you're operating, you own the license, you look for partners to pay a part of the license to share the cost for you. Now, there's all different configurations of deal, of course, but I mean, so that's what... they've done. They've signed it. But the one in Jamaica, for example, they've got 20% with Tullow Oil. Now, for a company of, you know, oil and gas size, that's massive, massive. Mm. So I envisage them, because that's going to cost them a lot of money. But I'd envisage them, you know, farming some of that out, probably 10% of that out. And even then, there's still millions of barrels of oil for them if it works out. And other licenses. And as I said, they're stacking up deals here that work together very well. You know, I mean, they say one already. They've got this cash flow coming on now in the next couple of years with the gas field in Italy, and then they'll do some. They've got the Colter well. They'll be drilling in this quarter. I think it was the second quarter, but that's could add about 200 barrels a day for them. The Svelte one is about 180 barrels equivalent a day for them. So it's all adding up, and I just like what they're doing. I mean, literally, they're not hanging around. It's almost like, you know, he wants to definitely achieve something within a couple of years. You know, he wants to get somewhere, and I've got this feeling about it. I really have. I really like, you know, their ambition, their drive, and they know what they're doing. And I just because, like I said, you know, with the I mean, the oil and gas industry is very risky, right? But the way they're playing it, by having lots of options, lots of plays, is diversifying that risk a bit, you know. And like I said, it's not just one high impact, you know, chance of success, because I don't think a lot of people are new to investing. They go for they look at a small sort of oil stock that's going for a chance of, you know, discovering 100 million barrels or something, you know. But and it's a sort of it's an exploration. It's not an appraisal well. It's exploration. It's pure exploration. And you're thinking the chances of that happening are very low. It's like 5-1. It is like betting on a non-favorite horse. The odds are against. You know, the odds are against. Now this Colter well, for example. The odds, the 58.5% chance of success. So that's odds on, you know? Okay, it's slightly, but most of these other wells you've got is like 5, 10%, maybe 15% chance of success. So I like this. They've got a lot of these things going on at different sort of risk levels. And already a broker note has come out saying he puts some target price at 15.5 pence. What are they at the moment? I think they went down on Friday, which is nuts. They're at 5 pence. So there's three times the upside here already. And that's not including Jamaica, which is obviously a couple of years off, but it's also a high-risk play. So he's got 15 pence target price for them already, and Barney Gray is the oil analyst, and he knows his stuff. So I think I really like United Oil and Gas. Like, you know, I like the determination of Brian Larkin to Brian. The life of Brian, eh?
Yeah, I heard him on your podcast. He doesn't sound anything like that, but I thought he was very good. And it's a good story, isn't it? It's an interesting, you know, very ambitious company, which I quite and but with you know, with some substance. You know, they're not just hot air. You can tell that they're actually yeah, they mean business, and they've got the skills and expertise to do it. Probably,
Anyway, 11 million market cap, right? And like I said, they got all these things happening already within 6 months. And listen, whenever Brian's come on the podcast, he said, "Yeah, no, still, hoping to, you know, look for some other stuff, more news happening soon, hopefully, So they're still going around looking for more stuff. So I just think there's a lot more deals to come. And they're 11 million market cap, or just below 12. I remember saying this to like Metal Tiger a couple of years ago when they were like 3 million market cap and they had sort of five investments or four investments. So you're very busy for a small cap company. And I just held on in there, bought some at sort of 0.8. And also, they went through the roof and they did a five bagger, you know? So I think, you know, sooner or later, they'll do a deal and it'll just take off. Of course, do your research. Everything's risky. We talk about, we own stock in this, so it's worth doing. But I like it.
Well, I don't, so I can talk about it.
Don't you own any?
Tiger.
Don't you own any?
I am not you og yet, no.
Well, listen, simple tip.
Come on, Peter.
Do some research. Do some research. Buy on a down day.
Do some research.
And buy on a down day.
There, guys. That was good.
But yes, it was a down day. I don't think this is one of those stocks that could explode. You know, I'm not saying, you know, rush into it, but I think when you're a down day like this, you've got 11 million, you've got to go for it, you know? You haven't got to go for it. You do your own research. I mean, what I mean, go for it. That's what I mean. You get the books out. Right. Like Steve does. Steve is obsessed with research. Absolutely.
I could tell when Steve was. Come on, Pete. What he was basically saying was, Pete, come on, do some really good research.
Start reading the RNSs. You know.
Yeah. I have been reading the RNSs. It's on my watch list. I have been watching it. Okay. And I think things will happen. But I mean, I don't feel like I'm in the need rushing to right at this minute. But. I will look for an opportunity to buy.
Okay. Listen, I've been looking at, utility-wise. This is a very risky play, you know? And some people are likening this to Carillion. I don't think it's anything like Carillion. I mean, the debt is nowhere near. Carillion's debt was like three times the market cap, you know? Utility-wise, is half. And so there's lots of companies around there with half debt to market cap.
How cheap down in utility-wise now?
I'm about 25%. But what I'm thinking is going to happen is this. On the 31st of they may be releasing their final results. Finally, because they've delayed twice or three times because they've had a massive audit. It's very complex. I may write a blog about it on the weekend trying to simplify it. But the reason why they've had a problem here is, listen, the cash flow of the business is not going to be affected. They've said that. The business itself, it's not going to be affected. But how they work utility-wise is they go as a middleman between a business... Yeah. And an energy supplier, and so they've got to, you know, a bit of leverage to get good deals on energy. So they'll go to the energy supplier and say, "We got a business over here; it's a 300 employee business. They want energy off you. Give them a deal." They say, "Okay, cool. We'll bring it to you," and they'll get commission payment for that up front, pretty much. Now, what's happened previously is there's been an underestimate or underuse of energy from that business because they've become more efficient in some way. They change light bulbs, or they move to a smaller offices, or, you know, more efficient thing. And so there's been under consumption. So, utility wise, even taking the money all up front, they've had to pay back. So when they've taken that money up front, it's on the books as revenue and profit for that year, and all of a sudden they've had to give it back, you know. So it's had to come off again. So, and so now they've changed all that. They're going from a different accounting rules, and now they're taking only 80%. So they'll say, this is what they're probably going to use for the next 5 years, this company, but we'll only take 80% of that, and it's going to be spread out now over the years. We won't take it all up front, you know, so they've changed. So this is going to have a material impact on revenue and profits for this year, because they're having to do this. They're having to redo all the books for the last 3, 4, 5 years. That's long as they've been. So it's a really complex situation. That's why it takes so long. But they're saying business level hasn't changed. And so looking at that, and you know, they're a 30 million market cap. Their revenue should be about 84 million if the last update was anything to go by. Their profit should be around sort of 5 to 7 million before tax. But because they've had to pay back, they've used debt for this. And so their debt levels have gone up. And so when you go to a bank and you arrange debt, you have covenants. You know, they'll say you're allowed to borrow this much. And normally it's like two times earnings or whatever, or something like that. So they're worried that they may breach these covenants. Now that's worrying, because if the bank doesn't agree to it, then you've got no money. You know, you've got no money. But they've said they're having talks with the banks already. The banks are seeming quite fine with it, because I understand it's going through, it's an accounting thing more than anything. So that's what's worrying people. Now, this is a very risky play. But should the figures come out, and it's fine, and the banking covenants are fine, this will fly. It'll fly like hell, you know? But therein lies the risk. You know, so how do you play this? Pete, how do you play this? Steve, how do you play this? You know, there's the risk. The banks say, oh, no, we're not going to stump up with more debt here. What do you think? But they are profitable, unlike Carillion. And there's a quote, but I think it says everything. Someone said to a rival of Carillion when they were taking a hammer in before they went through, said, are you going to buy Carillion? I said, why should I buy Carillion? I mean, I can go out tomorrow and write loss-making contracts. That's what they do. They undercut everyone else by taking on loss-making. They make a loss on most of their contracts. So this is not, you know, utility-wise, make a profit. And a good profit as well. But now it's going to be affected because there's change in the way they count it. So how do you play this? Pete, Steve, how would you play this? Would you wait until the results come out and try and jump in? Because you know on the day they announce it, if it looks okay, they will fly. Or you take that risk. Or you put a little bit in now, and then maybe...
If I was interested, I would hedge my bets, basically.
It's a little bit like Energy 88, isn't it? 88 Energy, sorry.
Well, completely gamble, different. 88 Energy is an exploration, risky oil exploration with no revenue, no business. No, so it's not.
Well, in the oil industry.
No. What I'm saying is when there was that risk, I can't remember what it was now, but whether they were going to hit oil or not, it was almost a 50-50, wasn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. But even then, the chance of success, Steve, of hitting oil is like less than 50-50. It's, like I said, it's a 1 in 5 chance, 1 in 4 chance. You know what I mean? So that's why these kind of companies are really risky. If they do hit a sniff of oil, of course, it goes nuts.
But they are similar in that they have shares that people can buy.
Yeah, they are similar in that you can buy shares in them and they have a couple of letters in their name. I see what you mean, Steve. Yes, but no. This is a company, Steve, with you know excellent you know sort of cash flow. Like I said, the 30 million market cap, and let's say they're going to be 80 million revenue, and obviously the profit's going to take a hit. They may go down to making a loss, you know. But
to answer your question, how they play it. I'm not that interested in it,
But you're an investor in shares. Are you? Do you want to listen? Sometimes it's all about risk and reward, isn't it? Sometimes you take a lot more risk, the reward can be massive. Of course, it can. The same kind of thing. Risk reward. If the risk is bigger, the reward can be bigger. But like I said, if you really want to double your money on something, you know, and this is the kind of play. And in fact, there's plenty of time. Probably what I'm saying is, it doesn't have to be before the RNS comes out on the 31st. If it does, but. If you want to take a stake in a company that will be at a multi-year low probably, but start climbing for the next couple of years and get dividends off it, this is a truly turnaround story.
Yeah, but it's not the only company that would do that for you. And this has a bit of a shady background where a lot of uncertainty. Steve's right in the way that there are people like 88 Energy that do have this kind of like potential 50-50 or... And so I'd probably find something where there's a greater chance of success than this one and put my money in that, not this one.
Yeah, what are you talking about? This is a company with revenue and profits. You're talking about putting your money in companies with no revenue.
No, not necessarily. I'm just saying I haven't got a bottomless pit of money. I've got 20 stocks in my portfolio already. Do I need to add one that's like this? I don't feel the need. And if it goes up and you bag, then fantastic. Well done you. But I'm not interested. I'm out.
Okay, that's fine. I understand, Peter. I do have too many stocks, actually. But
Did I mishear you earlier, Justin? You said you had 25% in there.
No! Are you nuts?
So
I'm glad you're listening to what I say normally. I mean, I say try not to overexpose yourself to any stock, 10% maximum production in your portfolio, and that way if it all goes, you know, Pete Tong... then, you know, the maximum hit you'll take is 10%. So, I wouldn't for that. I mean, literally, I'm down about 2 or 3% on the stock. But I'm in it because I want to see if... I've read the reports. I want to see what happens. And I think if it does tick up, you know, I'd be happy to average up but not on the day because it'll fly. Probably let it come down a bit. It may fly again, actually, because it's been
dampened. Are you keen to get us involved so you've got some buddies in it, you know, so we can all share the pain?
No, oh,
I'm in it, Pete.
Yeah, he's in it.
Well, there are. You can have a pain party next week, will it?
Steve's in it to win it. Yeah, he's in it to win it. No worries.
Hey, I hope it does well for you.
Yeah, it may not. But I'm also thinking of it may have a bit of a spike down on the day. So I may put a limit order, like 10%, 20% down, and see how far it goes down. Because you can pick up some stock down there, because it does that sometimes, it spikes down. If you can pick up a little bit of stock on the down dip, you know, that'll average you down nicely. Anyway.
Oh, okay. I think I'd rather put money into Feedback, Nuformix, or United, rather than utility-wise. There you
okay,
go.
Okay, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. You go and take your money. By the way, I did buy some tech capital this week. Because it's in the blockchain space. Basically, they own an investment company, and they've got a lot of different sort of cutting-edge stuff. Like they invested in a low-salt product that's better than actual low-salt, because it's got a bit after this. But they've also got this, you know, Google Glass, and that was I didn't realize Google Glass was a monocle. Did you realize that? It was one spec only. They were, you know, it's AI. So they tech capital are in AI, right, on the blockchain. And yet, so you've seen the market cap of some of these companies, haven't you? They're, you know, ridiculous. They just got coins, doesn't do nothing else. They're on the blockchain. We're on a blockchain. Yeah, we got some coins, we got some tokens. Just some tokens on the blockchain. And so because of that, because they've got, you know, they issue tokens on the blockchain. Is your tokens on the blockchain? Yes, they are. Oh, you'd be worth millions. But so if their tokens are on the blockchain, these companies are ridiculous. Ten companies now are worth more than 10 billion, right? But Tech Capital, listen to this now. They had 3.1 million worth of cash stated in their interims. This was obviously the last interims of the 31st of May. They've raised $2.9 million so far for their ICO. Their fair value of their portfolio of the 31st of May was 3 million. And their market cap is only 10 million. I mean, are you kidding? And this is like, they got revenue. I don't know, they made a profit in interims. It was because of the part sale of something. But you've got these blockchain companies that are the bananas. They don't have anything really apart from that. And I'm thinking, listen, there's been a bit seller there as well. So that helps on. When you get a bit of a seller, it knocks the price down. So I think, you know, as a listed entity and get a bit of exposure to, you know, cutting edge tech there, some investment companies, and they've got cash and they're on the blockchain, they got tokens on the blockchain.
Did you see that Arsenal Football Club they got
investing in tokens on the blockchain?
Yeah, they got some blockchain.
I'm an investor. You're on the blockchain. I'm not interested in the blockchain.
Yeah. Are you in the blockchain? Yeah, I think, apparently, or something.
Tell me about your business. Are you on the blockchain? I'm not interested. You're not in the blockchain, not invested. What's your token? I've invested in two companies now on the blockchain. Kryptonite 1 as well, of course, 3. That's not on the blockchain. They're investing into the blockchain via Nextcover. Yeah. But my strategy is this. And I've done it with one already. I've invested in an ICO, which is initial coin offering. They go bananas, so if you can get the pre-IPO sale, ICO, it's better. So they go bananas, they double overnight pretty much, all right? And I sell half, and I move on to the next one. And you've got to do some research, because there's lots of websites. And so essentially, I've got a little bit of a filter system now. I've found out a way of discovering if they're going to be good or not on the thing. It's basically like demand, you know? So I've done it with one already, and I've put it into another. So I've taken two grand. So I put $1,000 in it in the ICO. It's doubled, and I put that somewhere else. But I put another £1,000 seed capital in another one, and I'm looking for the third one now. But I just think you've got to spread your seed over everything on this kind of tech. It's like trying to find the next Google, isn't it, or Facebook? You know, it's not easy. When the internet boom happened, if you just find one of these, the Apple, the Google, who's scratching this itself there?
Not me.
Are you trying to get on the blockchain?
Yeah, he's sat on the blockchain.
Yeah, you're on the blockchain. Pull the blockchain.
I'm in the blockchain. I'm in Tech Capital as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You see, so anyway, that's my
get into the blockchain.
I'm just hoping
Arsenal have made some investment in a blockchain or got a blockchain partner, and you sort of what's that? Where? How are they going to? It's a gambling thing. It's involved in gambling, as you can tell. I've done my research, but I just saw it and thought, blimey, you know, they're getting into it almost as a sort of everyone has to have a blockchain partner, but then how is it all going to develop in the future? I don't see how that's all going to work. But
it just shows, doesn't it, how pervasive and how big this is going to be, really. Everyone's trying to get a bit of action on it, you get their hand in, you know. And there are companies, hilarious, just companies now, just listing, as a company now, just listed as a worldwide blockchain, this ticker is Block, this online blockchain. There's companies listing and realise, and they're flying, you know, the AIM companies are flying, and they've got no substance, pretty much. They're flying. So I think, you know, I think we should tie up a couple of things that are hot and list a company. List a company, just call it Blockchain, Chain Block, Vegan, something like that, because vegan's quite hot as well, isn't it? So just chuck everything in there, anti-plastic, vegan, blockchain, chain, block, capital,
graphene.
Graphene, chain, block. Our blockchain is made of graphene.
We're all graphene blockchain.
And we invest in vegan restaurants.
Yeah, so we call, we're
called chain block. Yeah, invest in the chain block, blockchain, vegan, yeah, graphene. Oh, we're doing all this. That's all we have to do is say that. You know, do a presentation to some big investors. It's all about the graphene, the vegan, the chain, the block, duct tape, the token.
We got it all. We got it all for you.
You got to pay a token to get your vegan meal. And send served on a graphene dish. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're hot.
Yeah. Crypto.
Yeah. Crypto, blockchain, vegan.
Graphene.
Vegan graphene.
We got it all.
And vegan food. Vegan food is made from graphene. Yeah. Okay. We're building a city of Chinese people out of graphene.
We're funding it with blockchain.
And it's all on the blockchain. It's all on the blockchain. All of it. We don't even talk unless it's on the blockchain. You're like, I'm talking to you now. Normally, normally I don't do anything if it's not on the blockchain. I don't talk to anyone unless it's on the blockchain. I don't do anything. I don't go to the toilet unless it's on the blockchain. I don't do anything. Food, jump in, put my socks on the blockchain. I get changed to sleep in the blockchain. Have you ever slept in the blockchain? Ooh, it's nice. Until you slept in the blockchain, you ain't slept. Right, anyway, guys, I think we should.
All right. Thanks, Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I'm dreaming of the blockchain.
Yeah.
I think we should write a single. Yeah. I think we should write a single. Okay, I'm on the blockchain. I'm on the blockchain. All right.
Anyway, plans for the weekend? Blockchain.
I ain't doing nothing unless it involves a blockchain. My weekend is all blockchain weekends. Blockchain, 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 blockchain. Oh, there we are. That's a catchy tune. Steve, you can knock something in the music. Blockchain, 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 blockchain. Blockchain token. Graphene.
Yeah. Maybe
graphene.
Not.
Hey, that's what we do. Release the first single on the blockchain.
Yeah,
we're releasing a single called Blockchain on the blockchain. You can only buy it on the blockchain by tokens. Called graphene.
Let's do an album where we can call the tracks like lightweight, conductive.
Yeah. Graphene, anti-plastic, vegan.
Cryptocurrency.
crypto, blockchain. Blockchain, graphene. Blockchain, vegan. Blockchain, graphene. Blockchain, kryptonite. Okay. All right, I think we've got the start of something big there, guys.
Excellent. And on that note, let's start writing. Good.
All right, have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Okay, good. Bye-bye. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.